And welcome to our Friday audio cast from AvWeb, the Internet's general aviation news service and magazine for this Friday, June 13th, 2008. Brought to you by Aviation Consumer. In part two of Mary Grady's audio coverage of the AOPA's annual fly-in and open house in Frederick, Maryland last Saturday, Mary caught up with Andy Cibula, AOPA Executive Vice President of Government Affairs, who begins his comments with the current state of flight service.
Last year was a tough year because Lockheed and the FAA essentially took 18 months of planned modernization and consolidation and compressed it into 6 months, which in June of last year, we had a big mess on our hands because pilots either couldn't get through to flight service, or they would get through and the flight service station briefer had no idea what they were talking about, or the system itself was not passing along or gathering the information that was needed by the pilot, like a flight plan. So we're in a position this year where, of course, the FAA, under congressional pressure, has really responded in overseeing Lockheed. And there have been a number of improvements that have occurred, not the least of which is that the system's finally been modernized and all the changes are finished. So that's been important. There was a congressional hearing last fall, and as a result, the FAA is having to report back every 90 days on the status of the system. They did that at the end of last year, and then there's a report that is in draft form right now from the FAA. Of course, in addition to that, we're keeping in really constant communication with the FAA and Lockheed. We're actually meeting with Lockheed on a weekly basis. We've been doing that since about February of this year, making sure that as we were entering into the spring flying season, and then of course the summer flying season, that we could be assured that pilots were going to get the services that they're needing. And so what we found, and this also includes the calls and emails that we get from members, is that by and large the service has improved. That the complaints that members have, what complaints they do have, are related to the knowledge of the briefer of the area, the service area that they're being briefed on. Some people refer to that as local area knowledge. That still continues to be a bit of a problem, although nowhere near as significant as it was. And then there continue to be spotty places where the flight plan information is not always passed on to FAA air traffic. And of course, as those are identified, then they're being responded to. So it's not 100% smooth, but it is dramatically better than last year. And I think most importantly, there's a total awareness by the FAA and Lockheed that the pilot's the customer and they need to get the service that they need. The number of calls that are coming into the system is also increasing. So those are all really positive indicators to us, cautiously optimistic, okay, based on where we stand today.
Okay. So what do you think is the number one thing that still needs improvement?
I would say that the briefers need to be able to service the pilots and be responsive to them on the local area. That's the big thing. And of course, what we've done is also tried to educate the pilots. Mm-hmm. One of the things we've done is we have a briefing, a tips card that we put out at the end of last year, and we continually promote that. We actually inserted it into the magazine in the November issue, and then we kind of continually promoting its availability on the web. We have come up with a tip of the week. So as we send out our electronic newsletter, posting it up on the website, we're giving the pilot community a tip to help them better navigate through the flight service station system. And then we also launched this spring an actual training course so that pilots could go through to, it's an online course, to go through to really understand the flight service station system from their perspective. I mean, we aren't trying to do it from a technical perspective. We're doing it from, hey, this is what it means to you as a pilot. So I think that, all of that, the increased attention by FAA, Lockheed, I think our training and outreach efforts, and quite frankly, the continued oversight by Congress, it's helping improve the system. And so, again, we're pretty pleased about where we stand right now.
Now, do you see the local knowledge issue? Is that really a safety issue?
It's not as much a safety issue as it's a length of the call, the ability of the pilot to have the confidence that the person they're talking to understands what they need. And again, one of the tips is really to make sure that you're not anticipating that the briefer is going to understand all of the acronyms or the waypoints or the airport identifiers for a particular flight. And so we're asking pilots, you be prepared to tell the flight service station specialist what they need to know. And so it's kind of meeting, hopefully, both parties in the middle.
So as far as any safety of flight issues, then?
We've done. The biggest issue in anything related to safety of flight is going to be a flight plan.
Okay.
And so those are taken very seriously by us. They're taken seriously by the FAA and Lockheed.
And they're still going astray sometimes?
Yeah, there are occasions where we're hearing it. I'd like to get that down to zero.
Yeah, and do you expect that to happen, say, by the end of the summer?
Yes, it needs to.
Yeah,
it
okay.
needs to. That's not just a convenience issue.
Right. Well, a lot of progress then since last
yes.
summer.
Yes, very much so.
So for pilots who are out there flying around this summer, what other things do they need to be aware of?
Well, the thing other than user fees, which is a huge issue that's going on right now, probably one of the biggest frustrations that we're seeing is really just over the cost of flying and the cost of fuel. We've been publishing tips to help pilots to make the most use of their fuel. And that's good. There's unfortunately very little that anybody can do about the overall price of fuel, whether it's our government or anyone else. So there's some limitations there. But the concern is what the cost of fuel does to flying.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now we are definitely seeing a decrease in flying as a result. So that's a challenge for pilots this summer. On some specific issues, there's a couple of other things that I could speak to if you'd like. One is the work that's underway right now in responding back to the FAA's ADS-B proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, you know, we were really frustrated with the FAA's proposal because it wasn't providing any new benefits to pilots, as you were going to have to add a new piece of equipment onto your aircraft to allow the FAA to transition from radar-based to satellite-based air traffic control system in its most basic level or basic explanation. And so some of the major concerns were that pilots are going to have to maintain their MOTSI transponder. The technical specifications for the installations were going to make the equipment to be installed pretty expensive. It's going to cost about $6,000 to $8,000 to just continue to fly into the same airspace that you fly right now where the MOTSI is required. And that was essentially the basis of the FAA proposal. The good thing is that you wouldn't have to do it by 2020.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened is after we and a lot of other entities pretty much panned the FAA's proposal, they've been going through aviation rulemaking committees where they took some of the major elements of the issue and they've broken them out and had specific efforts to resolve some of the issues, like cost-benefit analysis, some of the technical requirements. And so we've been working on that, the goal being that pilots need to be able to get benefits out of ADS-B benefits primarily being free traffic and weather. Maybe it's radar-like services where they're flying into an airport without radar coverage, which is something that we had always kind of anticipated was going to be a benefit of it. And to have avionics that's available to pilots as low a cost as possible. And part of that is that the specifications that the FAA would use would, if those change, that would potentially lower the cost. So that's there's a lot of work underway right now to do that. I would anticipate that probably by the end of the summer to maybe midwinter is when the aviation community is going to start to hear a lot more about what's coming out of that. But it is definitely an issue that's it's not forgotten, and there is an awful lot of attention and work being done on it. And probably maybe a topic that's a little bit more on something very, very specific. You know, security continues to affect us. Right now, we're waiting for the Customs Service to come back with their response to the concerns that we raised about their requirement to anybody flying back into the country having to notify them electronically of who is on board the aircraft. The idea of notifying the government before you're coming into the country who's on board is no problem, can understand that, but having to do that electronically was a real problem. So that's something that we're continuing to work on, but it's not necessarily in the most visible kind of way, because you're doing meetings with people, continuing to keep the Hill pressure on the U.S. Customs Service. But in the security realm, that's a kind of a common theme, is that it may not be the goal of what the government's trying to do, but how they're actually proposing it. And I'll do another recent example of that came out of the FAA. The FAA wants to have a better quality, an improved quality of their aircraft registry. Well, to do that, they put out a proposed rule in February that was going to require all existing aircraft owners to re-register their aircraft. If you didn't, then you would lose your N number, and the aircraft could no longer be operating the air traffic control system without going through a whole registration process. So we came back and we said, and we did a survey of our members, and the members said having a valid aircraft registry is a good idea. We don't like the way the FAA's proposed it. And there were fees also associated with that. So we came back to the FAA and we said, look, the members don't have a problem with your concept, but we have a major concern about having the registration of the aircraft shift from one where it's valid continuous to one that it's only valid for 3 years. So why don't we do this? Why don't we continue the existing, once it's registered, it's in the FAA system, but then an aircraft owner would verify it or validate it every 3 years. And any aircraft that is not validated could go on an inactive status rather than the N number being eliminated and then having to go through a whole process. And it just seemed to us a much simpler way to do this. You could do it on an internet-based system, low cost to the government, simple process for the pilot community, the aircraft owner. So that was an example, and we're going to continue to face these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. That's what keeps your job secure.
Well, in a lot of ways, I wish that we could get to a point of maybe I didn't have to do this, but it seems like the government's always coming up with new ways for us to have to do and for us to have to come up with alternatives, or actually in some cases like user fees actually mm-hmm. fight them.
Well, just one more quick follow-up, because I know you have to go. You were talking about the fuel costs, and there's really nothing to be done on the lobbying front as far as anything you can do to ease those costs on pilots.
For us, really giving the tips to help pilots know maybe how to better lean their aircraft, making sure they're planning just how much fuel they need, not running into a problem where they wouldn't have enough fuel on board. But you know, we can give some tips, but at this point in time, I'm not sure there's much that we can do. But I will tell you that it is a topic that we're going to be talking more and more about, because it is a real concern to the pilot community. There's no doubt about it.
Andy Cibula, AOPA Executive Vice President of Government Affairs, speaking with Mary Grady in Frederick, Maryland last Saturday. Today's report was brought to you by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. You can learn more or subscribe at www.aviationconsumer.com. For breaking general aviation news, always log on to avweb.com. Thanks for listening.